Our reading comes today from James chapter 3, from verse 13 to verse 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. But if wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen. I have to be honest with you and say that I really didn't know what to say today. This is such a painful time of year, the time of remembrance. Surely it's painful for all of us, whether we have lived through one of the great wars or were born just after it. It is painful because it reminds us of the devastation, of the impact of what human beings are capable of. And we don't need much reminding about that. Paris reminds us about that. Mosul reminds us about that. Aleppo reminds us about that. Afghanistan, Iraq, various centers of bombings by ISIS reminds us. The burning of Christian churches in southern India and Pakistan, often with people in it, reminds us of that. Boko Haram and some of the awful massacres in Africa, Bosnia, Vietnam, Korea. The list could go on. In the last century, at least 200 million people were killed through sheer acts of inhumanity. And so I could speak platitudes about peace this morning. But to be perfectly honest, when I thought about that, that is all they would be. Platitudes and nothing else. Because to be honest, nothing seems to change, does it? We look for human solutions to our very human problem. We look for political and social solutions, but they're not there. For 5,000 years, it has been the same sad story of human beings who cannot get on with each other. Our capacity to destroy one another has simply become more sophisticated down through the generation, so sophisticated that we have at our disposal the capacity to destroy the world not once, but several times over. So does the solution lie within the church? Hardly so, because the institutional church can hardly get along with each other either, because we are so preoccupied with ourselves and our power bases. And if we think for a moment that the solution of human society's ills lies with human beings and their potential to sort it out, surely we're kidding ourselves on. So I reiterate what I said at the beginning. I honestly didn't know what to say. Really? Truly? And then, over the last 2 days, I came across these two passages. One of the things that I've been doing, just as an exercise in my own spiritual growth, has been dipping into the Psalms, literally just opening a page and putting my finger down there and then writing whatever came to mind. And I want to just share with you these two Psalms, or parts of these two Psalms. From 109, "There are those," says the psalmist, "around me, with their hateful words, who fight against me for no reason. I love them, but they try to destroy me, even as I am praying for them. They return evil for good and hatred for my love." And then in Psalm 59, where I read this morning, "You are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my place of safety. In his unfailing love, my God will come to help me. He will look down and triumph on my enemies. But don't kill them. For the sake of my people, don't kill them. Stagger them with your power. Bring them to their knees, but do not kill them, O Lord, our shield." And from these two passages, I think there is something, if I translate them into a New Testament understanding of reality, that maybe has something to say to us. And it's this: human beings need rescued. Human society needs rescued. And that's surely what lies at the heart and soul of the Christian message. And as we move from Remembrance Sunday towards Advent, we see that that was God's ultimate declaration to us. "I'm coming," says God, "because you need me to be here. I'm coming," says God, "because without me there is no hope. I'm coming in order that this world, in all of its insanity, can have hope within it." There is a war that is far more profound than the war that is waged physically between different groups in society, between individuals in society, and between societies themselves. And the war that is waged, that is far more fundamental, is for the very soul of humanity and for human souls within that humanity. where God Himself reaches out to try and save us from a danger that we scarcely have any idea that we are in. We're scarcely aware of it. And I want us to think in terms of warfare about this here, because it is an emblem of violence that lies at the very heart of our own church story. There's a cross. There's a cross there. There is a cross there. There is a cross there. Crosses all over the place, reminding us of an act of ultimate violence that yet lies as our symbol of hope. And I want us to try and see what that symbol has to say to us here on Remembrance Sunday, and indeed here in our world today. Jesus was taken by the religious authorities and the political authorities of our time, by the two great world powers, if you like. And Jesus was treated unjustly by both of these. They wanted him out of the way and out of their society. Why? Because he spoke a different message from either of them. One lived by violence and suppression, the Roman authorities. And still that exists within our world today. And one lived by a kind of egotism that saw themselves as elite among others, and yet they were really ultimately no different from the political institutions of their time. They just tarted it up differently, that's all. And yet the Son of God lived differently. He gathered people round him, and he told them that his kingdom was a kingdom not that suppressed others, but a kingdom where love for others was at the very heart of everything that mattered. He spoke to them about a kingdom where to be peacemakers was more important than anything else. He spoke to them about a kingdom where reconciliation was important, where loving your enemies was fundamental. He spoke to them about a kingdom that was so radically different that it exposed the darkness of the kingdom of the religious and the kingdom of the political. That was his kingdom. And it was a kingdom that this world could not tolerate and still cannot tolerate. Because it's still a world where people will oppress and suppress and hurt and damage and injure others. Even down to the level of the way that we treat others in our own way in order to get our own way. And a battle took place. And that battle took place on a cross. And as that battle took place on the cross, there came a point in the conflict that was so violent that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There was the very heat of the battle. And what was happening at the very heat of the battle was that Jesus Christ's pure soul was confronting all of the violence and sin of humanity. As he became sin for us, and as he paid the price that we deserved as a society in order that we might be liberated from the insanity of who we are. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the price that Jesus paid for you and for me and for this world. And that price was being paid as it's so clearly stated in John chapter 3, where it says that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. Gave him in what sense? Gave him over as a human sacrifice, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. And then the battle was over. And then he says at the very end of it all, it is finished. It is complete. It is over. I have achieved everything that I needed to achieve. The battle was won. Sin was forgiven. Guilt was removed. Reconciliation was achieved. Eternal life became possible. And that's the battle that counts. In the midst of all that we see, in the midst of all the darkness of our society, in the midst of everything that is ridiculous about us, that's the battle that counts. For it was the ultimate triumph of God over our most profound enemies. It's the place from which we declare our faith. It's a place where peace with God is made possible. It's a place where the human condition can be healed. This is a place that we need to bring people kicking and screaming in order that they begin their journey for themselves, where they too will become peacemakers. But only through Jesus Christ is that ever going to be possible. I'm not asking for a new religious experience. What I'm simply saying is that we need to come to Christ. We need to plead with Christ afresh for our society. We need to live as Christians to show that there is another, better way. And no matter what darkness we have to experience, in order to do that, it's the only way that makes a difference in our world today. Blessed are the peacemakers, said Jesus, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen.